Hey guys, and welcome back to Lessons Learned on Radio Laurier. This is episode 8 of Lessons Learned, and actually the last episode of the term. And it's kind of sad for me, and I didn't even realize it until the last minute that it was the last one. And yeah, it's just kind of sad because, like, I really enjoy doing this podcast, and I'm kind of glad though that this is the last topic because I feel like it's an important one, and I didn't know it was going to be the last topic, but this episode is going to be about confidence. And I actually get this quite a lot, that people perceive me as fairly confident, and it's definitely taken me a long road to get here, and I definitely understand the perception of not being confident, and I'm going to talk about that. I've talked about it a little bit before, in bits and pieces, but I'm really going to go in depth about my issues with food. My issues with body image, and that can be really triggering for some people. So yeah, this is definitely going to be an ED trigger warning right now, like eating disorder trigger warning. I'm definitely going to be talking about that type of area because I had a lot of those issues when I was growing up. And you know what? I still do to this day. It's not as bad as it was before, but it's still thoughts that I have, right? They go less and less, but you know what I mean? But I'm going to talk about that, so I definitely want to give, like, a big warning because I don't want to trigger anyone. I've never wanted to trigger with anything I'm talking about to anyone. I just want to kind of give a perspective on how I think people should perceive themselves, because I remember not perceiving myself very horribly. Like, I didn't, I felt very low about myself at most of my life. And it wasn't even until I became a mother that I loved myself. And which, everything happens for a reason. And when it comes to confidence, I really think there's really a fine line between, you know, someone being confident and then there's someone who is faking confidence, right? And there really is a fine line, like I just said, because no one is 100% confident. Like, it's not a thing. Everyone has insecurities. Everyone has things that they don't like about themselves. No one is 100% confident in every single thing they do. There are people who are more confident than others, and there's, like, a scale and everything. But as far as everyone being 100% confident and having no insecurities, that's just not a thing. We would be robots if that was a thing. We wouldn't have emotions. And so to see it that way, you know, we're all just kind of like living our lives, and we all have things that we are insecure about. And it does suck when, you know, people project that onto others, you know, like their insecurities onto others, and, you know, make them, other people feel bad about their insecurities, right? And it's just not a good time. But yeah, there's definitely like a confidence versus fake confidence, right? Someone just faking it. And there is kind of like a fake it till you make it mentality when it comes to confidence. But what I'm talking about is like someone who's being perceived as confident, but is really inside, when they're alone, they're insecure. You know what I mean? And it's just kind of like a facade. And real confidence, like true confidence, not like the facade confidence, comes from, you know, within, and from healing and growth and loving yourself, really, is what it comes down to. And it doesn't just happen. especially if you've had like trauma happen to you where you don't think you deserve to love yourself, which sounds weird, but for a long time I didn't think I deserved to love myself for who I was, or like even deserve to like eat. I have a weird relationship with food, and I still do. It's really weird. I love food so much. I love indulging in food, but I, in my mind, especially when I was a child, I didn't believe that I deserved to eat because of the family dynamic I was being raised in my home. And by that, I mean, I've mentioned this before in other episodes, but yeah, so I had three other siblings, and they were all very high metabolism, like, you know, thin build, and most of my siblings were also very athletic, as well as my parents were very athletic people, and that was just, you know, not my jam. Also had a very, very low metabolism. My father also did, so it's not like I was alone in the metabolism thing, so we both had, like, you know, the curvy shape. But as far as, like, being athletic and being sporty and, like, liking sports and, like, I like watching sports, don't get me wrong. But as far as participating in sports, like, it's not really my jam. Like, competing-wise, like, I like shooting hoops at basketball, or, like, I did softball for, like, a good chunk of my life from the ages of, like, I want to say 4 or 5, because I played t-ball. Till the age of grade 6. So that was I was about 12 when I stopped softball. And we also had a basketball hoop at my house, and just like, you know, jump rope or like bicycle rides or whatever. I liked it casually or whatever, but as far as my parents or my siblings, they liked it competitively. Like, they were good at it, I guess you could say. Like, they placed, you know. My brother was a pitcher in baseball, and he was also in hockey. And my sister, she did track, and she did cross country, and she also did rugby at one point. So my family's just all around athletic. Also, I've mentioned this before, my parents won, like, the, like, athlete award in their elementary school, and so did my brother, and like this and that. Just like very, very athletic family, okay? Very sporty, like Sporty Spice, if you will, from the Spice Girls. Like, shout out to the Spice Girls fans. Literally Sporty Spice, that's my sister. Love you, Jen, but like literally Sporty Spice. And it's just a weird dynamic to grow up in when you literally don't like sports, you don't like competing in sports. So it's just kind of like, well, like, I like different things. So, and I was being pushed to do it, right? It wasn't even like I was in competitive sports from like a very young age when I wasn't even deciding to do it. I was just being put in it because my parents were putting me in it. And also my dad coached every year we did softball. So it was really about spending time with my dad, and then my sister was on my team usually. So it was kind of like spending time with my family really was the draw for me. And looking back on it now, it's kind of like sad that I wanted to just like spend time with them that much. But after a while, it's just kind of like, you know, I don't really like have fun. I'd rather just watch or, like, you know, take score, whatever, like, be a third base coach sometimes kind of deal than do this. That's exactly what I did the next year. And then as time went on, my sister stopped doing softball too, and she did track more and more, and my brother did baseball more and more. He started to do travel baseball, and that's when my dad started coaching him. And I was the concession stands for the home games on Wednesday and Friday nights, and my sister was the announcer, so she would do the scoreboard, she would announce the people going up to bat and like play music in between and like before like practice and like all that stuff. And I would do concessions. I would like just sit there all night basically for hours until it was over. And like I said, very sports oriented family, and I was just there along for the ride, I guess. I'm not really sure. And I was doing vocal lessons at some point in my life. And I mentioned that before, that my parents did like eventually, like after I basically begged them, let me do vocal lessons because they were spending so much money on trying to get me to do sports, like whether that be softball or whether that be cheerleading that I did for a year when I was in sixth grade. They were spending so much money on trying to get me to be athletic, right? And I was just like, well, like, it's not working. I'm just not an athletic kind of gal, you know? And they just wanted me to be so bad just so I could fit in, really, because I was getting bullied a lot when it came to my weight or the fact that I wasn't athletic, that I had no interest in sports, that I was interested in other things, and, like, that I was weird, I guess. And, yeah, my weight, I guess, because I was always curvy. But really, like, it's because those kids were bullying me because that's what they knew what my insecurity was at the end of the day. Like, they knew that's what, and also they have insecurities themselves, obviously. But, like, you know what I mean? They knew what my weak point was, so they picked on it. And do you know why it was my weak point? It's because of my family and the whole image I had to live up to, if that makes sense. And this, like, I guess kind of, like, that's where the eating disorder kind of comes into play. And by the way, when I say eating disorder, I mean, like, my parents never took me to doctors when I was younger, really, unless it was, like, I was dying. Like, literally, if I was dying, they would take me, and that's it. So when I say eating disorder, and I have not gone myself as an adult, so when I say that, when I say, it's purely me just looking at the situation of my childhood and just, like, knowledge that I've gained over the years and me looking at it and being like, yeah, that I definitely, like, have some sort of, like, issues with food / an eating disorder. I'm not a doctor, though, you know? So I don't have a PhD, like, nothing. So, like, so don't take my word for it. But I'm just saying that I have a lot of issues with food. I look at food in a really, really strange way. And to this day, it takes a lot for me to even, like, sit down and eat sometimes. Because of the anxiety that wraps around it. And it's hard to even explain why there's anxiety around eating. That sounds so silly. Because eating should just be a natural thing that someone wakes up and wants to do. And I do want to. And this is a really, honestly, getting me choked up because it's still a daily struggle that I go to, that I go through. And I, like I said, I love food, but the thoughts are still there. The voices, I guess. The voices is definitely have quieted over the years. Definitely quieted. And, like, you know, there are times where I'm, like, really pumped to eat. So that's good. Like, I've come a long way from thinking I should hide eating, because that's how I used to feel. I used to think that I had to lie about what I was eating to people, because they would look at me a certain way, because my parents, you know, put me on a diet. And like I said, it's still a daily struggle that I go through, like the voices, and when I do get pumped to eat, when I actually, you know, make dinner and want to eat it right away, it's like the best feeling ever. And like, I feel like anyone like in my life that like wouldn't understand that, like who knows me to the core, like, you know, like they would understand that's like a big deal for me to even like have a thought like that. Like, I'm like pumped to eat it right away, you know, like hot. And when I say my parents put me on a diet, by the way, like, I kind of want to explain what that means, because it's not like, okay, you're on a diet. Like, it's really hard to explain what even their diet method was, because I still don't understand it, so it's hard for me to explain it to someone else. Basically, like, my siblings, like, were allowed to eat as much as possible, because, like, athletes, they need a lot of, you know, carbs and nutrients, because they were, like, you know, you're losing a lot of weight. And my siblings were very thin-billed people, so if they weren't eating a lot of food and they were, like, exercising in the main amount, you know, like, they would shrivel up, basically. They needed to eat a lot of food. But for me, because I wasn't exercising, I wasn't sporty enough, they would limit me, which sucks. Like, that's the minimum definition I can give for you. It sucks. They would come home and ask me, you know, what I'd eaten that day. And I don't remember the age they started doing that. I think they just decided one day that, like, you know, like, I needed, I don't know, they didn't want me to get bullied anymore. I'm not really sure, like, what the meaning was behind it. I'm like, I don't know. Because we went swimming a lot, and, like, I was, like, I don't know. They just wanted me to blend in, if that makes sense. They didn't want me to get, like, they wanted me to fit in. They wanted me to be looked at as normal, if whatever normal is, which the definition of normal doesn't even, like, apply here, honestly. But basically, they would come home and just ask me, like, what I'd eaten, like, after school, because obviously they knew what I'd eaten for lunch, because they packed it for me. But they weren't home, like, after school, so they would ask me, and when they first started asking me, like, obviously I was telling the truth, and then I started to notice that, if I told them, you know, like, I was really hungry, because, like, I didn't have a lot, because they didn't feed us breakfast, okay, ever, really, at weekdays, I said, like, you know, like, I was really hungry, because whatever, and then my lunch was really small today, like, some days, like, I would eat, like, a TV dinner after school, okay, and, like, my parents would, like, get mad at me, and tell me that, like, that's a lot, and, like, tell me that they weren't gonna cook dinner for me now, and, like, blah, blah, blah. And it was just, like, the worst feeling to go through as, like, a teenager, being told that you've had, like, enough when you're still hungry, if that makes sense. And you know that, like, your siblings get to eat whatever, whenever, because they're participating in athletic and, like, physical activity. and they deserve to eat. So that's where the eating issues come, is that, you know, I was looked at as, I don't deserve to eat because I'm not doing physical activity. But then, you know, my siblings, I'm seeing them, they get to just do whatever. And so I have this, like, complex now where I think I don't deserve to eat. I still have voices in my head telling me that I don't deserve to eat, which is, your body needs food. It literally needs food to survive. And my brain's telling it, you don't really need it. Nah. Like, that is so twisted, right? But these were the messages that were being projected to me. And so after a while, when they would ask me, you know, whether that be my mom or my dad, they would ask me, like, I started to lie. Or, like, I would have, like, literally, like, food hidden. And then I started to do this thing where I would wait for them to literally be dead asleep. And I mean dead asleep. And so, and like, sometimes, like, you know, I would get up to, like, you know, go get food. Because that's what I would do. I would wait till they were dead asleep and I would raid the refrigerator and the cupboards. Like, whether that be, like, peanut butter toast or, like, whatever I could find in the fridge. Like, it's... because I was so hungry. Like, there were days where, like, I just didn't get enough food. Because I would, like, anytime I would go in the fridge or the cupboard, my mom or dad would ask me what I was doing and what I was making. And, like, they were literally limiting my food intake. And it's almost like a dog, almost like a shaming of a dog, where they're just like, nope, you've had enough food. Like, you only get one cup of dog food. Nope. Like, you're not getting any more. Like, that's it. And I was just like, oh, okay. And it just sucked. Like, because I was born a certain way. And, like, they're literally my DNA. My DNA, this is my genetics. You guys made the genetics. Like, hello? Like, guy, it just doesn't really make sense to me that you're supposed to have this unconditional love for your children, but then it's conditioned somehow. It got conditioned somehow. It got limited somehow of, like, we're only going to love you if you don't eat as much as you do. If you don't eat the kinds of things that you do. If you don't indulge in the food that you do. So it was conditional love, it wasn't unconditional. And even in, like, still to my adolescence, they would still try to push me into athletics somehow and have, like, talks with me how, like, I could be athletic if I wanted to be. And it's like, no, I really, the most athletic I can be is a fast walker. I'm a really fast walker. That's it, though. Any other physical activity is just, like, a no-go for me, except for, like, playing basketball, like, in a park, okay? Like, not competitively. I don't like competitive sports. It's just, maybe it's because it's a trigger for me now to be in competitive sports. Just because maybe it, like, brings a lot of, like, memories back, because that's where I spent my entire childhood, guys, was at sporting events. Legit, like, I want to say, like, 60% of my childhood memories are at sporting events. And whether that be for myself, my siblings, or going to Toronto or Kitchener Rangers, you know, it's just, there was always, or watching sports with my father, you know, there was always something going on in my family when it came to sports, and it was always, like, the center of attention. And, like I said, I still deal with these thoughts of, like, thinking somehow that my body doesn't need nutrients. Like, it's just so silly. Like, And even sitting down to eat a meal is hard. And, like, I always think people are judging me for what I'm eating, and people don't really care. But I think that they do, because in my household, everyone was always looking at me and what I was eating. Like, even some of my siblings were doing it and asking questions about what I was eating or how I was eating it and, you know, what time of the day I was eating it at, and, like, you know, kind of like, if you can't beat them, join them kind of thing. And it just sucked that, like, I was being singled out in my own, like, family and, like, with my own blood. And I knew I was different from them, obviously. Like, I even, like, thought I was adopted at one point. Like, I was like, mom and dad, like, I'm, you know, because all of my siblings have brown hair and have, like, green eyes, except, wait, my brother, one of my brothers has blue eyes, actually. But anyways, they all have, like, dark brown hair. I have, like, dirty blonde hair with blue eyes, and I'm also, like, kind of, like, olive skin, kind of, if that makes sense. Like, not, like, anyways, just, I didn't have the same skin tone as them, also, just to clarify. I looked more like my dad, in a way, than my siblings did. My siblings more looked like my mom. And when I was, like, really little, I actually thought I was adopted, and I accused my parents of adopting me. And they said, no, like, I birthed you. I can show you a video of, like, you in the hospital with us and stuff, like, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay. Like, I believe you kind of thing. So I'm not adopted, but I was definitely, there was four children in my family and two parents. My parents were together. That's at one point six individuals living in a household with pets. And there's this image that I was living up to with my siblings and, like, my parents, like, this, like, sporty image, this, like, competitive image, this, like, athleticism image, like, that I had to live up to, that I could never do it. Like, it just, it was fun to do with, like, my sister and my dad, and, you know, I liked doing it in that sense. The communal aspect was the only draw, though. The family aspect was the only draw. Other than that, I got nothing out of it besides getting to spend time with my family and get to spend time with other kids my age, you know? But I think that's why a lot of people did competitive sports when they were young, to, you know, be around kids your own age and, like, learn about teamwork and all of that stuff. So I feel like in that aspect it was good for me, because you do learn a lot of life skills out of competitive sports. But as far as, like, having it as, like, a regular thing in my life, like, I don't know about that, because I feel like it's just very intense. I lived with all athletes, okay? Like, trust me when I say I understand the intensity of an athlete. Holy poop. Yes, I do, because I lived with all of them. So I had to be around this intense energy all the time, where they're constantly want to win, you know? They do. They're constantly, every single one of them wants to win in some way. And me, I don't really care. I don't really care about winning. I'm just there for the game. You know? That sounds so lame. But, like, that's so true. Like, for my personality and my character and, like, who I am, it's true. And that's what I think they didn't understand, is that I didn't really care about, like, winning or, like, you know, if we were gonna lose. I just cared about, like, being there and, like, kind of, like, the joyfulness of being the experience and, like, being around my close ones at the time. And it sucks that, like, I was getting, like, projected on, because that's what it really was, like, projection from, like, you know, their past, their insecurities of, like, my parents, I'm saying. And I don't know everything about their past or their insecurities, but, like, that's what I'm assuming. And I feel like they've always thought that, like, the key to success and the key to, like, people liking you or popularity is to, like, be thin and be, like, sporty and, you know, be, like, competitive and be pretty and, you know, just this whole image that they have in their head when it comes to someone, like, being successful. And I just, like, I don't think that way. I did when I was a kid because that's what they were teaching me, but I realized along the way that, like, that's not how I think. That I don't believe that looks really get you that far. They get you some places, but, like, as far as, like, integrity goes and, like, real true character and people who have genuine, like, physical appearance does not matter at the end of the day. And, like, I don't think my parents knew that when I was growing up. I don't know if they do now, but they definitely didn't share that message with me when I was growing up. And to this day, I still have this problem where, like I said, in my brain, I have these voices. They're really my parents' voices, if you think about it, telling me that I've had enough food, that, like, I don't need to eat. Because another thing, like, they put into our brains that we didn't need to eat in the morning. Because it was really because they didn't have time, because my parents worked full-time jobs, both of them, my entire life. So they really just didn't have time to make us breakfast on the weekdays. So they just, like, put into our brains that we just didn't need it. And so from the get-go, it was just like, we, you know, they'd only make us breakfast on the weekends. So from the get-go, it was just kind of like, okay, well, you don't really need it in the morning, okay. And then when I was a teenager, it got really bad where they were asking me what I'd eaten and they were limiting me and all that stuff. So it just got to a point where I felt so bad about my body image. Like, I felt really bad about myself and I didn't know if I was gonna be successful because I was given a message that I wasn't gonna be successful because I was, like, curvy, because I was fat. But later on in life, I realized that everyone has fat on their body, and then if you don't have a fat percentage on your body, you're actually dead. And I actually learned that your body needs food to fuel it, no matter what shape you are. And if anyone's gonna judge you for eating, which you literally need to do 3 times a day, it's just so ludicrous to me that someone would judge someone for wanting to eat 3 times a day. And I was judged for it my entire life, for wanting to have, like, 3 solid meals a day. And maybe it was, like, a financial issue, but also I was the only one getting singled out because I was gaining weight from it, right? As my siblings weren't gaining weight from it and weren't getting, like, severely bullied for their weight, it wasn't an issue, you know? But for me, it was an issue. So they're like, all right, here's the solution to you getting bullied. We're just gonna try and get you to lose weight. And, like, my mom made it into my head, especially, that I needed to lose weight, that I shouldn't be my size, that, like, she wouldn't even let me wear stripes, dogs. Like, oh my God. Like, we would go clothes shopping and she would tell me certain clothes didn't look good on my figure. So I was really into striped shirts at one point. Like, I really wanted to buy, like, you know, to buy striped shirts just from, like, Blue Note. If anyone has went to Blue Note store before, they know what I'm talking about. Like, the t-shirts that were just, like, really big in, like, 2010. They're just, like, really light and they were, like, $5 or $10. Anyways, they were, like, striped. And I really wanted them. And my mom said they didn't look good on my body type, I guess. And, like, there was things like that. She would just refuse to purchase for me because it didn't look good on my body type, in her opinion. But whether it was my sister when we were clothes shopping, because we were all clothes shopping together. Like, we weren't doing separate trips. My sister could put on anything and it would look good. Obvious, like, in my mom's eyes, I guess. But, like, also, like, in society's eyes, whatever. Which was the suckiest feeling to have, going clothes shopping and, like, living your, like, life and, like, thinking that you shouldn't wear certain clothes or you shouldn't eat certain foods or you shouldn't eat, really, that you shouldn't eat because you're fat already. But really, I feel like they should have been, you know, teaching me the message that, like, fat is beautiful and that, like, fat is what makes the world go around and, like, thick thighs save lives and, like, I'm beautiful no matter what my, like, size number is. They're always so worried because I was always a double digit size. I was always, like, 12 or 14 when I was growing up. And it was just, like, such a low feeling to have, no, like, thinking your parents are, like, ashamed of you or embarrassed of you. You know, they'd rather you not be in the family picture kind of thing. That's really dark. But, like, legit, though, like, I feel like they would rather me just be cut out. That's how I felt most of the time. And, like, like I said earlier on, I didn't really start to feel confident in myself or love myself until I had a baby. And I'm not saying have a baby, by the way, as a solution to loving yourself. It really did come from within. I really started to appreciate the little things about me and what's unique about me and the skill sets I have and, you know, the talent I have and what I can bring to the world and to my child. And I feel like I can give the world so much. I just started to see so much beauty in myself, because my entire life, no one was looking for beauty in me. So I had to find it myself, I guess. Like, that sounds, like, really, like, poetic or whatever, but, like, really, that's what it came down to. I had to find the beauty in me because no one was showing it to me. So I had to kind of, like, really look at my entire soul and my entire character, and I was like, okay, who am I now as this young person, and who do I want to be, and, like, how do I want to grow, and how do I want to heal from what I've gone through already, you know, where do I want to go from here, and, like, what kind of person do I truly want to be, like, what do I want to get away from also, like, what toxicity do I want to not surround myself with, whether that be my own blood, flesh and blood, or friends, you know, like, I really can't have, like, the turnaround toxicity where it's, like, my mom kind of thing where one minute you're nice and we're really close and we're connecting and all this stuff, and the next minute you use that connection against me and you use it to hurt me and you use your words to hurt me with the things that you know about me from our intimate moments. I've had that happen with a few individuals in my life, whether that be family or friends, and it's just, I can't have that turnaround toxicity. It will never make sense to me. Well, that's a lyric, but legit, it'll never make sense to me because I would never treat someone that way. I would never put someone down that way that I really cared about. I would never belittle someone's confidence or self-worth the way that some people have to me. You know, my own parents have done to me. I would never do that to anyone else. And like, that's what I kind of had to look at, is like, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be like this person who uses like insecurities or like intimate moments to use against someone later, especially my own flesh and blood or people that are close to me. Like, that's just like so twisted. Like, you're using people like secrets basically or insecurities against someone later that you supposedly love and care about. Like, that just seems so like messed up to me. And I just kind of had to look at that and the life that I lived as a child in my family and be like, well, I don't want to be like that. I want to love myself for who I am and not try and strive for anything else or mold myself into be anything else, and just love my own, the skin that I'm in, and like love all the insecurities, even though I'm still insecure about them. Know that they make me a part of who I am and like the person that I am. And like, even though they're insecurities, I still love those insecurities, because I wouldn't be the same person, if that makes sense. And it took a lot of like reflection on my life and like really like true healing and a lot of like therapy and meditation and finding stuff that I love to do and finding stuff that I'm passionate about and stuff that I think that I can bring to the world also. And like I just said, like, it's mostly about loving yourself for who you are. And like, I feel like another thing is like, I started doing, I remember before I had Lily, before all that, I used to like wake up in the morning and think, you know, when I was getting dressed or I was doing my hair and I would do makeup too also and like whatever, I would think to myself, you know, whoever I was seeing or whatever I was doing that day, I would think to myself, you know, how are they going to perceive me? How is this person going to look at me? What are they going to think? And I lived my life for that, like that, for a long time, like even coming out of my bedroom, you know, I worried about the comments I would get from my family. Do you know what I mean? So for a long time, I worried about, well, what were my parents going to think when they see me in this shirt? Or, you know, or when I would be working, I would like do the whole shebang with my hair and my makeup, and I would worry about what people were thinking. And like, I woke up every day literally just living for and looking for other people, like kind of validation in my physical appearance. And it was just not something that I truly felt like validated for ever. Cause there's no like real validation in it. I never felt like true validation in it. And it just kind of like a facade. And like, I started realizing that I should be waking up in the morning and thinking, okay, how do I want to dress? Like, how am I going to be comfortable, you know, dressing for me? Like, only wearing makeup if I want to wear makeup, like not worrying about if someone's going to see me without it or if I have a pimple or what have you, you know, what my hair looks like. I always worried about my hair look like, and I always had a brush on me. Like, now I just don't really care. Like I just said, I started dressing for me. I started waking up in the morning and thinking to myself, how do I want to feel when I'm walking down the street? Like, do I want to be, you know, thinking about how others are going to look at me, or do I want to be just walking down the street, just humming and hawing to myself, like not really caring about how people are perceiving me. And it's not just easy as that. Like, mindset has to come into play here, and mindset is really key. It can be really hard on some days. I've come like kind of like strong-minded in a way where I just have this mindset now that like no matter what someone can say or do to try and hurt me or bring me down or like just try and create toxic energy around me, it won't. It just won't destroy me anymore because I've heard it all. First of all, I've heard anything someone can say to me, you know? So from that angle, it's just kind of like, well, bring it on. But also in another aspect, it's kind of like, well, I don't really care what you think. 'Cause I know in my soul, in my heart, who I am. I know who I am. Like, I know at the end of the day, your opinion doesn't matter of me because you're only getting one perception. You're only getting your perception angle of me. But I know myself to the core, and I know what I've been through. I know how much growth and healing I've done in my almost, like, 3 decades of life. No one's opinion or, like, toxic spew can bring me down or destroy me. Like, they can sure try, but it's not gonna work, like, because I've heard it all, and like, I know who I am, and like, it's just mainly having a mindset of like, you know, you're good enough. It doesn't matter what anyone else is saying or what they think or who's telling you that you're not. You are. Even though there's voices in your head telling you that you aren't, you just have to, the best trick that I have is actually looking in the mirror and telling to dead at yourself in the eyes and telling yourself that you're good enough, that you deserve to be able to do whatever you want and not be judged for it. And you deserve to dress and act however you want and not be judged for it, you know, like, there shouldn't be any really restrictions on how someone wants to be or who they want to be, or what they want to be perceived as. Like, I feel like people are so beautiful, and like, everyone is beautiful. Everyone is unique in their own way, and everyone has so many different like quirks and characteristics to them that just make them beautiful. And that may sound like corny, but I'm all about corny, if we haven't noticed. And I feel it's just true. I feel like judging others when we always feel judged ourselves just seems like such a mind-boggling concept to me, that we always feel judged as people, as humans, where we constantly feel judged, but we want to project and judge others constantly also, even though we feel judged. Like, I felt at a certain point that I didn't want that, and I wanted to kind of like turn the tables and like break the cycle of that and be like, no, like, you can really be whoever you want to be, and like, no, and like, no one can really change who you are. They can try, but they can try and bring you down and everything like that, but it's only if you let them bring you down, you know what I mean? If you like believe what they're saying about you, like, if you just let them get into your head constantly and you actually believe what they're saying. I've kind of gotten to a mindset now where I just believe me, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not gonna believe what someone else is saying about me, because why would I trust their opinion about myself? Because I know myself better.
than them, than anyone else. So why would I trust someone else's opinion about me? That makes no sense. Obviously, it's hard when, like, someone's just being mean to you to not, like, get to you. Like, hate is always going to get to you when someone's spewing it at you. It hurts. I'm not saying it doesn't hurt. Of course it hurts when someone's being toxic towards you. It's not a good feeling. But it doesn't, like, define or, like, divide my entire being. Like, I just focus on other things, and, like, I just move on to the next thing, to a more kind of, like, something that I feel, like, passionate about or that makes me happy, joyful, instead of focusing on that, you know? And, like I said, it's mindset or nothing, because if you have a mindset that you're gonna lose, or that, you know, what this person is saying is true, that's the message you're putting out, right? But if you're walking to the room and you're like, no, this is how I actually am, and actually I'm great, you know, like, you just have the confidence of, like, you're awesome, and that you know that you are, and that you know that you also have flaws, and you're still great within those flaws. And the voices really, you know, they do get quieter over time, and it's so hard to just say, to, you know, walk into a room and say that I'm great. It's not as easy as just saying that. Like I said, it really takes, like, a lot of reflection in yourself, and, like, a self-appreciation for your, like, and being able to just be by yourself and loving your own company, and, you know, just sitting there by yourself and being just with your own thoughts, and, like, happy and content with it, your own thoughts, you know? Because if you can't be happy and content with your own thoughts and just by yourself, then, like, what do you really have at the end of the day if you're constantly relying on people being around or people talking to you to feel loved or appreciated or cared for, or that you're good enough? And, you know, all those feelings should come from yourself first. Feeling loved and cared for and appreciated, you should do all those things to yourself, because that's who you have every single day. That's who you have to live with every single day, is yourself, not anyone else. The opinions may, like, fly around there of, like, people perceiving you a certain way because of, you know, a life they've lived, and that's okay. And, like, I've kind of learned to accept that, like, I don't think, like, anyone is, you'll never just please everyone. Like, you'll never do that. You will never please everyone. That's something that's kind of honestly a hard pill that I've had to swallow, is that you will never please everyone, which sucks. I keep saying it sucks because I don't want to say other words, just so we're clear. I don't want to say any other swear words really on here. But it's impossible. You will never please everyone. And, like, I tried to please everyone for a long time, especially as a child. Like, I wanted to make my parents proud so bad, guys. Like, so bad. Like, I wanted to be good at sports so bad, just so I could make my parents proud of me and, like, want to talk about me and, like, want to, like, brag about me and, like, you know, watch me win and, you know, all this stuff, like, all the good stuff that I saw with my siblings. Like, I wanted that for me so bad, but it just wasn't in the cards for me. And, like, I remember I tried out for both volleyball and basketball team at my elementary school, didn't make either of those teams. Like, I just wanted to, like, show my parents that I could do it, but I just couldn't. Like, I just wasn't able to. I just didn't have the skill set for it, and it sucks that I kind of, like, went through my childhood thinking that I wasn't making my parents proud, and that, like, my parents were, like, embarrassed of me. But on the other hand, I'm really proud of, like, the person that I am, and, like, how much growth I've done and how much healing I've done from that. And even though I still struggle with, like, the whole food thing, I still have, like, a mindset of, like, I know that I'm great. Like, I know that I'm a gem. Like, I know that I have beauty in me, you know. I know that I have things that can be brought to this world, and there's stories that I can tell and messages that I can bring that could help people. And, like, I know all of this, and it wasn't taught from my parents, but it came from within my soul, you know, from looking and reflecting on my life and going to therapy and really just finding, like, the simple things that you find joy in. And, like, a lot of it has to do with not letting others bring you down. Like, when someone is trying to, you know, bring down your day and, you know, bring you toxicity and, like, bring you negativity and, you know, just, like, why would you let them, you know? Just don't. That's exactly what they want. That's exactly what they're craving. In some sort of twisted way, that's what they are craving. So, like, why would you let them win, in a sense? Basically validating their self-worth in a, like, really twisted way. But, like, honestly, and then it just brings your self-worth so much more down. And, like I said before, why are you even believing what they're saying? Like, believe what you say about yourself, because you know yourself better than anyone else. You know yourself better than whoever's talking right now, whoever's talking poop. Like, you know yourself way better than them. They don't even know you. And what they're saying is, like, irrelevant. And, like, you know who you are and the kind of person you are and the character you have, you know? And that should be enough that you know. It doesn't matter if anyone else really knows. It matters if you know, and how you feel about yourself and the energy you put off. And when you walk into your room, like I said, and just put off an energy of that you are awesome, that you are confident. And it's not easy as, like, just a snap, crackle, pop. It takes a lot of, like, work, a lot of, like, work, self-work. And I just really wish that, like, we lived in, like, a society that wasn't, like, mainly about, like, physical appearances, you know? Like, I feel like we're slowly getting better over time, but, like, it's, you know, it's a long haul. It's a long haul. And I feel like at the end of the day, someone will always have something negative to say about you. Every single time. It doesn't matter what you're doing, what you're saying. Someone can find something negative to say about it. It doesn't matter, because it's a different perception. It's a different person than you. So someone can always find something negative to say. And, like, I've had to learn to accept that not everyone is going to perceive it in a positive light. Not everyone's going to perceive things I say or do in a good way. Some people may perceive things I do or say in a very negative way or a toxic way. That doesn't mean it's toxic or negative, no, but they're perceiving it that way. And I've learned to accept that you can't just, like, sometimes change someone's mind about you, no matter what you say or do. They're just always gonna find something negative to find because they can, because they're bored, because they're deflecting, because they're projecting. And there's always something they can find because no one is perfect. Everyone has flaws. And also, on top of that, some things people perceive as negative, other people perceive as positive. For example, I'm really, like, alternative, dressed, whatever, person, hippie vibes. Some people perceive that as negative. Other people perceive it as positive. It just depends on who you ask, you know what I mean? So there's some people who will perceive it as positive, and there's some people who perceive me as negative. And that's okay. Either way, does it matter? No, because I perceive myself as positive. I perceive myself as great. So it doesn't even matter if someone's perceiving me either way. You know what I mean? Because there's always something someone negative can find. I know that because I'm in my own head and I see myself every day. Do you know what I mean? So I feel like people shouldn't be so hard on themselves, especially when it comes to, like, physical appearance. We literally were born with this, guys. Unless you've had something done. But, like, you know what I mean? Like, we were literally genetically born. We didn't choose how we were gonna really come out. And when it comes to, like, genetics and DNA and, like, body type and everything, we didn't choose that, really. And there's not really much people can do about it besides, like, lifestyle. But even lifestyle can't change certain things, unfortunately. I've learned that even lifestyle can't change certain things about you. It just won't happen because of, like, the DNA aspect of it, right? And that's just, like, a scientific thing that I've had to accept. I'm like, oh, like, it's literally a scientific, like, proven fact that it just won't, you know, I will never be Mary Kate Olsen, you know what I mean? And I don't want to be. And I've learned to not want to be, to not want to strive for that, even though I love Mary Kate Olsen, don't come for me. I used to love the Olsen twins and all their movies when I was younger. And, like, so little time, like, come on. Too good. But literally, I've strived just for the better, my better self now. Not for a better anyone else or a better perception of, like, what my parents are going to think or what my friends are going to think. I'm not striving really how, like, people are going to look at me. I'm striving for a better me every day. I'm striving for a better me 10 years from now. Every single day. It has nothing to do with, like, I want to be this person or I want to be perceived this way. It's more, I want to be a better individual day by day. And I know that I'm a good person, and that's all that really matters. Okay, I'm gonna stop blabbing about being confident, because I know it can be kind of overwhelming, the positivity. But, like, that's what it comes down to, is, like, the overwhelming positivity. Is how you get to being confident, as the, like, point of confident that I am right now, I guess, or, like, other people. Because I feel like now in my life, I'm a very confident person, and that is from being an overly positive person, because I've had to be. It's, like, a coping mechanism for me is being overly positive. And some people find it irritating. Some people find it adorable. It depends on who you ask, as we say. I'm really sad this is my last episode of the term. I really hope Radio Laurier lets me come back and do lessons learned, but I don't know if they will. But if anyone has, like, gone through my podcast and, like, listened to my episodes, I really want to thank you for listening to me. I've really enjoyed doing this and just talking about my life, really, and, like, and people relating to me and messaging me and telling me that, like, that I'm helping them in some way has really touched my heart. So I just, and I really feel full in knowing that people have gotten something from this and, like, have related to it. And I just really want to, yeah, thank Radio Laurie for putting me on the air with Lessons Learned. And hopefully I get to do this again. So, yeah, if anyone wants to talk to me about any of the episodes that I've, and any of the topics that I've talked about on episodes, because a lot of them have been really heavy. I'm most active on TikTok and Twitter and Instagram. I believe, yeah, TikTok and Twitter are Emelia Joyces, so EmeliaJoyces, and then Instagram is just Emelia Joyce. If you ever want to, like, just message me on there and tell me if, like, how you've related, or, like, if you've related at all, or, like, if you have a question about anything, because I know a lot of things can be confusing, especially when it comes to, like, timeline and everything. I will definitely respond to you, and I love reading them. So, yeah, I just, another big thank you to Radio Laurie for doing Lessons Learned and putting me on here, and I'm really gonna miss this over the summer, so I'm sending good vibes to everyone, and I hope Lessons Learned comes back. All right. Peace and love, everyone. Signing off Radio Laurie right now with Lessons Learned. Bye, guys.